Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Hello and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Oh, look, we got an old friend of the show. David Adelman is the chairman of 76 Div Corp and also partner of HBSE. He has been on our show before, and he has always laid some knowledge on us, and we appreciate it because we got a lot of questions to ask him, especially about all the stuff developing for the Philadelphia 76ers. David, thank you so much for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thanks for having me. Excited to reconnect with you guys.
Well, let's talk about that. The Philadelphia 76ers, of course, it's always happening down in Philly, right? They've been going through one heck of a summer so far in the season. I mean, you had the Phillies, and they're going through, and then the Eagles right now, they're playing some good ball. Now the 76ers, and more importantly, the development of a new downtown arena for the 76ers. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, look, it is certainly great to be a sports fan. You know, obviously had fun watching the Phillies. And the arena is, you know, something I'm really excited about. My partners, Josh Harris and David Blitzer, approached me a couple of years ago about wanting to do something really world-class in the city of Philadelphia. They realized having, you know, a local partner would be helpful in doing this. And we spent a year looking for the best site in Philadelphia, and I'm really happy that we found it.
And the defining point for me, at least, is that this project is not seeking any public financing, which I'm sure taxpayers are grateful for. Can you talk a little bit about that and where you're going to make up that difference?
Yeah, so what's really important to note is, you know, Philadelphia is one of the poorest big cities in the country. Our school system has tons of deferred maintenance on its buildings. There's, you know, poverty and crime and things like that. It would be inappropriate for us to take city resources, as great as we think this project is and will be for economic development. It's just not something that Josh, David, or I are interested in doing.
So, David, look, I mean, I have to switch gears on you here because it's an interesting time we live in. You know, you're very involved in the city of Philadelphia. You're also the past chairman of the Philadelphia Holocaust Remembrance Foundation. And we remember what happened and what you did for DeSean Jackson back in 2020. And it's an interesting time, right? We had Kyrie Irving, all the things that are going on there. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts and what kind of advice you might lend to Kyrie and some of the other stars out there that, you know, this is impacting.
Yeah, you know, look, I think first and foremost, I've been tracking it, is, you know, education. You know, does someone know when they say something that, you know, the Jewish community views as inappropriate or unkind or anti-Semitic? Do they understand the message they're delivering and that it is? Because we found a lot, you know, in the DeSean case, I think it was just a lack of understanding. And, you know, I was willing to, instead of just, you know, a lot of people in our community were, you know, just like ready to, you know, kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. I said, well, why don't we have a discussion first? And so my view is, let's talk first. Let's educate on why, you know, this is hurtful speech, and see if we can help people, you know, kind of change their ways. And, you know, DeSean, to his credit, and I say it all the time, you know, he not only did he understand, but he came down and said, you know, could you give me a tour of the Holocaust Memorial and Plaza and teach me about it?
I want to expand more about that, too, because when Adidas decided, hey, we're pretty much done with the yay line from Kanye West, what people may not understand is that they had to go to a bond sale, is what I'm trying to say. It cost, I know you hear about, oh, it cost Kanye West money, but it cost Adidas a lot of money also.
Yeah, look, I think that unfortunately, you've seen this in other brands over the years, where, you know, someone they're aligned with, you know, chooses to go in a different direction, and, you know, the company's forced to make a decision. But, you know, look, I think it's, at some point, companies have to stand up for, you know, what's right. And I think, you know, put people in this in the place of understanding that, you know, you can't do all these things and get rewarded for, you know, being a bad actor or, you know, hurting people.
I'm going to switch gears here and turn back to real estate, specifically real estate in Philadelphia. Obviously, the economy is in a state where We've had a series of interest rate increases that have made property a lot more dicey of a proposition than it was a year ago at this time. When you're looking at investing in a new arena project, when you're developing a new arena project, do you tie that valuation of that project more to what's going on in the broader real estate market or to sports, which is, of course, what it's adjacent to, because the valuation of that just keeps going up?
Yeah, that you're asking a great question. I think first and foremost, I have to wear my real estate developer hat on this project. And so the way I look at it is, and I'll take you through it, you know, one, and for those who don't know Philadelphia, we're taking a portion of a old mall that was built 49 years ago in the heart of Philadelphia, but it's a really big mall. It's three blocks long. And in my opinion, it's just been too big and never lived up to its full potential. We're going to take a third of that site, one square block, knock that down and build the arena, which is on top of the busiest train station in Philadelphia. And so, you know, transit-oriented development, all of that. And so, first and foremost, I look at it, you know, what's the cost of the land? What do we think the cost to build the real estate will be? And then layer in the economics of, you know, collecting rent from the Sixers and concerts and things like that. You know, then, you know, Josh, David, and I look at the fact of the economics that we believe this will really be a game-changing revitalization of a part of the city that just hasn't lived up to its full potential. It's a really unique thing if you know Philadelphia, but kind of this area between 11th and 8th on Market Street, everything else around it's redeveloped, but we still have single story boarded up retail across from the mall. And so if this can be a catalyst to kind of redevelop that neighborhood and create, you know, which we think will help reduce crime by creating activity, what's that worth to us? And, you know, honestly, we're willing to make a little less on our return than a traditional real estate developer would.
And for our audience, we're talking about the 76ers arena project. That's a $1.3 billion, 18,500 seat arena that may be coming in 2031. But I just wanted to kind of hit on that point you made. You put on your real estate hat, right? And, you know, increasingly in today's day and age, you find owners can just throw money at the situation and make us better. But you're talking about it from a business perspective. When you, made this investment, you're investing in the 76ers and the New Jersey Devils, you know, do you look at that from the perspective of a business investor or for someone who has a genuine love for the game?
Yeah, look, I'm fortunate that I was able to get involved in the Sixers and Devils. You know, my closest friend, Michael Rubin, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, had to sell. And, you know, we struck a deal for me to buy his interests. And, you know, that obviously is a Philadelphia guy, you know, growing up with the Sixers, you know, it's a dream come true for me to, you know, be involved in sports. I was previously involved with Josh and David in Crystal Palace in the Premier League. And so I really love the sports and entertainment business. I think it's a great business. I think it's a convener for people to bring them together. I look at what sports did during COVID to get people together. So for me to be part of that is very exciting. Obviously, there's a scarcity value to professional teams, and that creates interest and supply. But I do think it's a little different. You know, the arena itself, and you know, just to kind of spin on that, if you look where we're playing right now, we're a tenant in someone else's building. We're the third choice of scheduling right now. So sure. You have the Flyers, who are owned by Comcast, who own the building. They get the first pick. Then you get concerts, and the Sixers get third place. And what does that mean is consistently we have more back-to-back games and more 5 out of 7 night games than any other team in the league. And so, you know, as you follow playoff time in basketball and you see that the difference between the number 2 seed and the number 4 or 5 seed is 1 or 2 games, well, you know, that wear and tear on our players really adds up, right? And so there's a couple reasons. Not discounting that, you know, economics is one of them, but one, being able to control your own building, control your schedule is certainly first and foremost for us. Number two, you know, in this day and age when all of the teams can really pay the same amount for players, what makes a player pick us versus someone else? And we think the facilities are really important. And, you know, we're just not, you know, where we need to be compared to the rest of the league and the newer venues. And then two, our fans deserve to win championships and deserve an experience commensurate with that. And that's really kind of the goal of creating a world-class facility.
I want to go more into the fans because in Philly, you have a passionate fan base and the clientele is there. And there's a quick story when the Phillies and the Astros, they're in the World Series. The Astros are in Philadelphia, and a couple of the Astro players wanted to go to a pizzeria. And the pizzeria guy says, there's no way in West Hell I want to serve these guys. This is Philadelphia. They are very passionate in Philadelphia, and it must help you when you're trying to get into ventures like this.
Yeah, I think, look, the goal is to energize our fan base. You know, what's unique about what we're doing here is, you know, right now in Philadelphia, and I'm sure you've been to some games, our sports complex is located kind of outside of the city in South Philadelphia. And so this is really new for the city to understand and, you know, get in the groove of understanding that, you know, we're going to locate the arena in downtown Philly and get people programmed to think about, you know, how does public transit play into that? How does the ability to be able to pregame by going out to eat, going to bars and restaurants, things like that, and having an after game experience, which, you know, our fans don't really have right now.
So there's Philly and there's also Newark where the Devils play. And there were reports that Josh Harris and David Blitzer wanted to perhaps invest in Chelsea. That didn't work out in the end. But there is talk that Liverpool might be a possibility. However, Josh Harris and David Blitzer also own stakes in Crystal Palace. How would that work if HBSC were to pursue Liverpool?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, it'd be great to talk to Josh and David about that. I think, obviously, it was no secret that, you know, they looked at Chelsea. And I think, you know, we would have figured something out at that time regarding Palace. Teams come for sale all the time. And I think just taking a look and seeing what's out there and if it fits our investment thesis, so be it.
Why do you think it is right now that there are so many teams are coming up for sale at this time? What does it say about the state of the assets of these sports teams?
Yeah, look, I think, look, obviously Chelsea was a unique situation when you look at, you know, who the owner was and what was going on with, you know,
sure, the sanctions and everything.
Yeah, so I, like, my guess is if you asked Abramovich, there, you know, he never had intentions of selling that team, right? You know,
right, but Liverpool.
Yeah, look, I think the economics are so you have things in sports where you might have owners that, you know, there's a generation of owners that as they get to an age, maybe their kids aren't as interested in the business, or, you know, the Broncos were an example of an estate issue, right, where, you know, Pat Boland died and his kid, you know, his kids were kind of trying to sort that out. And so I think you have to look at each team as its own separate situation. You know, obviously the prices are also like, you know, getting to a point where maybe some of these owners are like, wow, you know, I have a number in the back of my mind, and if someone hits my bid, I'm out.
Right.
You know?
David, we've asked you all the hard questions. Can you just one more? I mean, Joel Embiid, I mean, a quadruple double, man. I mean, 59 points. And then what do you have, like 45? I mean, what are the chances this year? What do we like? I mean, do we think we have a chance?
Yeah, look, you know, Doc and Daryl Morey, you know, I think they've just put together an unbelievable squad. I really do. I think, you know, Joel, as you know, was reported earlier, had the plantar fasciitis. He's getting past that now. He's hitting his stride. You know, tough break on having James out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
He'll be back. But, you know, you saw the rotation that Doc put into play where he got some of the young guys in, and I think that was just great. And so I couldn't be more excited. I know the team is really excited. The organization is excited about what this season could be for us.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
I have to bring something up, by the way, too, and it was something that you got involved in earlier this year, neutral foods. And it's the first carbon neutral food company in America. And it brought in a number of celebrities, including LeBron James and Kevin Love. First of all, tell us more about Neutral Foods and how can a food company be carbon neutral?
Yeah, so, you know, my family office, Darko Capital, we've been taking a position in, kind of climate tech, carbon capture companies, and, you know, what I'll say, you know, anything to kind of prevent climate change lately. We did that deal Neutral along with Bill Gates's group, Breakthrough Energy Ventures. They brought us in. I brought in some of the guys that you mentioned and, you know, John Legend and a few other friends that we do things with. And what the way I see it is, you know, years ago, people didn't understand what the category of organic was. And, you know, it's not that long ago, you'd walk into a supermarket and there was just this one little section of organic or gluten-free or, you know, non-GMO, right? And so, you know, the goal with Neutral, and we have a great guy, Marcus Smith, who's the CEO, is how can you do things? Here's an interesting stat for your listeners, is that cows produce a huge amount of methane. Okay.
I don't know. I've had nothing. Yeah. Never mind.
yeah. Along with Philly fans after Sunday, Eagles Sunday. Okay.
Well done. But, well done.
Right? You hear me, right? So what we've done is partner with select farmers. There's technology you can use both on what you feed the cows to reduce the carbon, and then number two, actually, all, you know, focus on the carbon footprint related to the logistics and transport of the materials in the milk. And so, you know, we're starting with milk. You'll see other dairy products, and you'll eventually see other foods. And my thesis of this is that, you know, it starts with this, and then you'll see that food aisle expand one day to a, you know, carbon neutral.
That is, I really, the thing about when we think about cows and we think about how, you know, they're out there and yes, they, you know, produce milk and yes, they produce meat and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, there are ways we can do that and hopefully, you know, bring a cleaner America.
Well, David, I have to just cut in here. You know, I love how Michael asks you about carbon neutral foods. I want to ask you about American Harvest Vodka, Beach Whiskey. I want to ask you about Darko Spirits. We don't have a lot of time left
today,
in that.
Man.
I love it. Well, you'll have to give us your address. We'll send it to all you guys. You know, it's always happy hour somewhere. So yeah, I got into the alcohol space, you know, by kind of dabbling in a few different investments. I'm involved in Lobos Tequila. LeBron and a bunch of other guys are in that. You know, a couple ready to drink called Vide, which is a vodka based, you know, not seltzer based flavored drink. And long story short, I wound up buying control of these two brands, American Harvest Vodka. And my thesis was, you know, your listeners will appreciate, you know, it all comes down to kind of every spirits category has a clear number 1, 2, 3, 4, like, you know, where they're all on top of each other. U.S. made, American made vodka. There's, you know, a clear leader in Tito's that does 10 million cases a year. Sure. And there's really no number 2 or 3 or 4. And I just couldn't get my head around the fact that when I look at all the other spirits from tequila to bourbons to everything else, there's always kind of like people all on top of each other there. And so my thesis is, you know, not everyone likes to, you know, stay at, you know, the big chain hotels. And some people like a boutique hotel. Why can't you have a boutique vodka? And so American Harvest, it's organic, which we think people really appreciate. Gluten-free, made in Idaho. The farms where we make the wheat, Thousand Springs Mill Farms, they use solar power to help harvest the wheat. And I'm not just saying this, you know, but the profile of this vodka is really smooth. And for years, people tried to market vodka as being odorless and tasteless. Why would you want to buy something that's odorless or tasteless that you just have to mix with something? Like you can drink this on the rocks, you can drink it neat. Like, it's actually like we tried to like pronounce its flavor. And then Beach Whiskey is a really fun drink that we created. It's flavored whiskey. It goes down really easy on ice or mixed it with juice. And then we created a kind of canned form out of that, which is launching now, that by the summertime will be at all your beach towns. And yeah, we're just trying to have some fun in the spirit space, not take it so seriously as like the large companies. And, you know, I just wanted to see if I could bring my entrepreneurial spirit to the spirits world.
Well, David Edelman has described my evening. Thank you so much. Chairman of 76 Def Corp. We really do appreciate it. Good luck to you, sir. You've been so kind to take time out and talk with us. Thank you again.
Anytime. Thank you.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And hey, you can get this show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, our podcast, and you can download the show wherever you get them.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.